Hello, I'm here with Caitlin to talk about magic angle graphing. But before that, we've got an exciting job opportunity for you.
An exciting job opportunity.
Yeah, that's yours.
Oh, why don't you go first?
Oh, okay. Why don't you go
I
first?
can't. I can't find icons apparently on my desktop anymore.
Oh well, okay. Yeah, technology is so difficult. Well, I'll start with my magic angle graphing, which I'm very interested in. So, graphing is a sheet of carbon, one atom thick, and it has a lot of amazing properties. But one of the great things about it is it's very easy to make. All you have to do is take pencil lead and use Scotch tape to pull off a thin layer of it, and you can make a sheet of graphene that way, although I think they may use other techniques now. But the point is, it has two-dimensional materials have surprising electrical properties. And one thing that really was recently discovered is that if you want to make it really do exciting things, you put two layers of graphene and you turn it by just a little bit. And the magic angle turns out to be 1.1 degrees, one layer of graphene and one layer on top of it, 1.1 degrees tilted to make a moiré pattern, will superconduct. And if you sandwich it between two other layers of material, you can turn the superconductivity on and off with an electric field. And if you set the second layer of material at a 30 degree angle, you can use a single pulse of electricity to turn on the superconductivity, and it stays on in the absence of the electricity, and you can use another pulse to turn it off. So now you have another type of electrically controlled switch to control current, and this is what a transistor is. And so this is extremely exciting in the world of material science. This may be the next physical material we can use for another generation of chips that actually use superconductivity and a very small amount of matter. So this may turn out to have all sorts of interesting applications in computing and elsewhere. And it's very easy to understand what it is. Even easier, I think, than a normal transistor where you have to understand electrons and holes and stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. Are you ready to present this job offer?
I am. Okay. So it turns out that a lot of people have been laid off recently in Silicon Valley, but I have some good news because it turns out that cybercrime groups are looking to hire.
Aren't they always?
They're apparently so. And I didn't realize this is how you sort of get in.
I thought it was just startups. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is this is from cyberscoop.com, and this is by AJ Vicens. And apparently, yeah. So cybercrime groups go on the dark web and they offer jobs for like six-figure salaries for people that want to like write malware. And a lot of people applying don't even realize that they're applying to like work with like criminal groups. And some of them seem like, you know, legit, you know, opportunities. But essentially they have these, you know, structures that are very similar to like a small startup, where you have like analysts and developers and testers and administrators, and you know, they pay you good money. And so this turns out to be kind of an issue with Silicon Valley laying off so many people. And if one of those people really needs money and they can't find work, well, I'm sure one of these cyber criminal organizations would love to have someone that was formerly at Google.
I realize I'm old and cynical, but I wonder if maybe they wouldn't actually pay you.
I don't know the details of this. Obviously, you're dealing with criminals, so I don't know if they're going to not pay you. But as far as I know, like organized crime does actually pay, and it's not all that different from like regular business. There's the line between business and crime. It seems very wibbly wobbly the older I get.
It's a firm line of lawyers, is what
yes
it is.
Yes, lawyers.
And also the lawyers occasionally talk you out of doing horrible things, so
true. FTX was a good example of something that seemed legal at first and turned out to be very illegal.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah, a whole lot of things are that way. All right. And so there's another cute article on SciTech Daily about a new way to kill cancer with artificial DNA, a brand new technique. Amazing to hear. What they did was they found cancers. They did it, of course, not with humans, but with cells in a dish right now, cervical cancer, breast cancer, and melanoma cancer. And they found that these cells create certain RNA molecules that are overproduced. So they created a scissor-shaped DNA molecule, custom built, to latch onto that, and that creates a marker which your immune system can find and kill the cancer. And so this accomplishes something a lot of modern cancer therapies do. They just want to label the cancer cells so your immune system can find them and kill them. And this is much more targeted, much safer than anything than using things like surgery or radiation treatment or anything. The whole point in cancer is to somehow find the cancer cells and kill them without killing too many good cells in the process. And this has been successful. So it's a new technique. And I thought that was very interesting. So I guess we should get rid of TikTok, huh?
Yeah, TikTok is apparently not very popular among members of Congress. So for a while, we've been talking about potential bans for like government users, people who have close access to government secrets. Maybe they shouldn't be using TikTok. But it's looking like there's an effort to ban TikTok from all across the United States, nationwide. So the article comes from Gizmodo, and this is by Nikki Main. And the article talks about, it's called, it's somewhere right up here. It doesn't say the bill. Anyway, so the bill was introduced by Josh Hawley and, Ken Buck. And this legislation was introduced on Wednesday to make a nationwide ban on TikTok. And this is kind of weird. I mean, I know that the United States kind of, has this like love-hate relationship with China. On the one hand, we're very happy to get, cheap stuff and exploit their labor. But when China does something really popular in the United States, or they have something popular in the United States, there seems to be this sort of political blowback. But I don't see the threat of having like high schoolers use TikTok. This Chinese government is going to have access to, what these teenagers are doing, what they like, and they can control the algorithm. And it can get really scary too. I've heard stories of people working with social media saying, hey, we need to send out these ads, and we have new ads for baby diapers. We want to send our ads specifically targeting women ages, 21 through 35, in Northern Ohio, who recently, had a baby and, at least, or is going to have a baby within the next, 6 months. And, and they can like target these ads very specifically.
I know you can do that on Facebook. Can you also do that on TikTok?
Yes, you could. Okay. You absolutely can. And that's the fear, is that just because they're Chinese, they think they're going to do that. They're going to target ads. They're going to target content. I haven't seen any evidence of this happening yet.
Yeah.
But it seems really extreme, at least to me, from the information I've seen, to implement these nationwide bans. I think it's reasonable to say, hey, if you're in close contact with sensitive information in the government, maybe you shouldn't be using, these services that are mainly designed in China and everything like that. But there's something to be said about China, like influencing elections, similar to, Facebook and putting up ads and stuff like that, which is, maybe we'll see if that starts happening. I think then you should react. We haven't seen any evidence of that, as far as I know. Maybe the FBI knows something. I don't know.
Seems like the Department of Pre-Crime. I mean, they're punishing them before they've done a bad thing.
Yeah. And they probably could do bad things if TikTok becomes more and more popular. No one's denying that. But, maybe this nationwide ban is more, it's sort of McCarthyan era. Sort of we had the Red Scare, now we have the Red China Scare.
Yeah, I think it's xenophobia and racism, essentially, where you just block everything foreign because foreigners are intrinsically suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the Chinese government is totally sus. Don't get me wrong. They don't exactly have a, you know, they're not civil rights, you know, crazy. You know, they totally would interfere with our elections if they could. And, you know, but TikTok is still a, you know, private company, even if they're in China. So I don't know.
Yep. Well, I mean, there are certainly arguments about China, but I would like to see a really clear justification of exactly how this is worth doing.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I just saw an article that said something irritating me for years. When I try to save images from websites, they save as WebP. And I just say, what is this garbage? And take a screenshot another way. But I found an article explaining how this works. And apparently, because Chrome now saves everything as WebP, I didn't know this. WebP isn't actually an image format. It's apparently more compressed than JPEG or PNG, smaller by another 25%. And everybody's switching to WebP on their websites. And you can download special programs to convert WebP back to JPEG or PNG if you want to, and or Chrome extensions. And that's what you have to do. So now I'm slightly less ignorant about WebP. I thought WebP was maybe a shortcut to the image or something, but it is the image in a different format. So anyway, that's a useful thing for me to know as I use the internet. And let's go back to you with Bitwarden.
Yeah, so one of the things that's kind of scary about a lot of these cloud password managers is that you're putting all your jewels into this one big safe. And from a security standpoint, that actually makes a lot more sense, because usually what happens is that you get hacked on one site, right? And then they have access to that password, and then people reuse their passwords, and then they, you know, and then they pivot. The attackers pivot from this one weak site to another site, and it's dangerous to have your stuff sort of distributed like that. If you have one centralized area, you know, one password in one highly secure vault that you're going to keep the bad guys away from. In theory and in practice, this is a good idea. However, the bad guys are catching up. And what we're seeing, apparently, and this is from an article on Bleeping Computer written by Lawrence Abrams, talking about Google ad phishing sites that pretend to be Bitwarden. So you can see here, this is Bit something login, a fake site, but it pretends to be Bitwarden, and they want your email address and password to get into the Bitwarden, you know, app and stuff. And you can see there's here are the ads right now: one password login now, password manager, one password, as well as, you know, like I said, and Bitwarden is becoming very popular. So you really have to look out to make sure that, one, your Bitwarden password that you use is unique, long, and safe, and not used on any other sites. And two, only log in through the Bitwarden like login thing. Like you can't see it on my browser, but usually it's integrated with your browser. So never log in through like a web page, only through the little extension that you install. I just wanted to throw that out there and make sure that people are safe.
Yeah. I'm in the forensics class thing for the last year or so. I've been having good fun seeing how they mishandle memory in password managers. And the LastPass hack showed that they kind of didn't handle the server-side encryption as well as they should have. So these things do have their weaknesses, but they're a lot better than reusing passwords.
Yeah, and I will say that Bitwarden is, as far as I know, open source. Let me look for that on GitHub. Yeah, there it is. So if you go to GitHub, you can find their server that they use, you know, and you can verify how they're storing the passwords. In fact, you can set up your own Bitwarden server, I imagine. And so you can, so unlike LastPass, which was sort of a black box, Bitwarden, you can verify that everything is being encrypted properly.
So. Yeah, that's good to know. All right. Well, I think that's it for this one. And we'll be back on Friday.